November 11, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 60!
I've been scrubbing them real hard.
Whoa, so am I, baby. Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strum, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show, episode 60. And I don't just do the show alone. This isn't a solo affair. I do it with other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How you doing, Steven?
Fine.
Also, we have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill? Also, we have here our newswoman, Vanessa. How you doing, Vanessa?
I'm great.
Now, Vanessa, have you gotten over your spill? Are you upright and walking around now?
Somewhat. I can walk around, but I can't. When I get up, it feels like something catches.
You're just
so
supposed
I can't
to say yes. Okay.
Oh,
well,
exactly.
How you doing, Bill?
Bite me.
Let's get off of Vanessa and go to me.
Yeah, get off of me, Bill. Get off of me.
That's why she's beat up. I was riding her earlier.
Whoa!
Gene, watch out. You got competition.
Left a spurs dug in my side.
Don't you know Eugene's a eunuch? He can't do anything like that.
How is everything going with you, Bill? How are you doing this week?
I'm pretty good. I, you know, get over a little family visit and everything, and I'm fine.
So do you enjoy when the family visit?
Sometimes, yeah.
All right, it's been a really rough week. We had Election Day, right? That was exciting. I hope everyone went out and voted.
Yes, I got my vote in.
I got my
vote in. I even grabbed the old lady's butt at the voting booth.
Okay, but some shocking news happened this week, and here it is. It's very upsetting.
The pop princess filed a split from her husband today in Los Angeles, citing irreconcilable differences. Britney and Kevin were married back in September of 2004.
No!
In her petition, she asks for legal and physical custody of their two sons, Sean Preston and Jaden James. She did not check the box seeking spousal support. The papers also state that the date of separation was yesterday.
And I'm such a huge fan.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Last night, a newly trim and blonde Britney made a surprise visit to the Late Show with David Letterman. The last few days, the New York papers have speculated that there was trouble in the marriage.
So she got in shape, waited till her husband was on tour, divorced.
Dumped his ass.
Nice.
That's why they were so happy.
I was even watching this interview on this show called Much Music. It's like the Canadian MTV. And they had kind of this thing going on where they were doing an all-day interview with him, and he was talking about how happy he was. Just, guys, check this out. Because what suddenly happens in the middle of the interview is the guy gets a text message about his divorce. He gets text messages during the interview.
That's like getting facts.
Oh, that's awesome.
That you want a divorce.
Nice.
Check this out.
After 2 years of marriage, Britney Spears has filed for divorce from Kevin Federline, citing irreconcilable differences. According to People magazine, Britney filed the divorce papers on Tuesday. However, Britney listed Monday as the official separation day. This is the same day Kevin appeared on Much On Demand, co-hosting and candidly talking about Britney and his children.
You know, I sniffled up a little bit last week when I was missing my children, so that's the honest truth. This was the diamond that I gave to my wife when we first got married.
Yes, and so, I took it back.
You know, I got her a bigger one, and I made a pinky ring out of this one. She really loves what I'm doing right now.
She bought herself a bigger one.
She's probably my number one fan, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying.
Wrap her around the entire day, shooting an episode of the reality show Exposed.
She's the one that's been telling me, like, to do it, you know, and she's very, like, thinks highly of it, you know. People are going to really pick up. She's like, you know, she believes in it big time. Like,
wow,
she sees,
he's really,
you know,
naive.
That, I mean, together,
dude,
we take over
the world. Dude, she was getting rid of you.
He spoke about how strong his relationship with Britney was and how his partying has affected their relations.
It's hard to see everybody right now, you know. It's like, it's hard enough trying to get time to see my kids. You know, if me and the wife are beefing or something like that, then yeah, I'll go out and I'll have a good time because it keeps my mind off of that. You know, it's like a
now he's going to have to go to the court
element
to get time to see.
While continuing the exposed shoot at dinner that same night, the singer was text messaging someone and appeared to be upset. Kevin removed his mic and was gone for 30 minutes. Kevin later returned visibly upset, but finished shooting the rest of the episode of Exposed. Kevin is currently promoting his debut album, Playing with Fire, while Brittany stays at home with the kids and works on her latest album. That's it for
Much
News.
Reading
we'll
it straight off.
Time.
Yeah, it sounds like Vanessa.
She doesn't have Vanessa's reading.
Oh, kiss my ass.
Nice.
Tuck her up and kiss.
Now, as long as it's clean.
How upset are you guys over this? I mean, the guy was out finally earning a living. He was going to start paying his way, and then he gets the divorce papers.
You sell 20,000 records, you can really make a lot of money off that.
But you know what?
It was going to go platinum.
It was all worth it, though, when you guys say he got to be on CSI.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And he got,
now he can die.
He got to be on wrestling with John Cena.
Yeah, he got paid to scale.
The world's biggest scumbag.
Let's hear what the hoes on The View said about the KFED thing. I'm sure it's really annoying.
Day after, and I just want to say, I never expected anything like this. I'm over the moon excited. How do you feel, Elizabeth?
I am both shocked and devastated.
Yes, I know, but it's the biggest news in the country, ladies and gentlemen. Britney Spears is leaving KFED!
Does Rosie think she has a chance now?
Yeah.
On behalf of a happy America, welcome back, Britney. We love you.
Yeah, I love Rosie.
It took her to dump Kevin Federline for America to love her again.
Yeah, that's what's sad is she probably has advisors like, you know, you're working on your new album. It's time to get your career back on track. You need to dump your husband.
He's spending all your money. He's just knocking you up left and right.
I think they got married in the first place just to be married. You know, I don't think they... I don't know how to describe what I'm saying, but I don't think
they
were
really... Well, that's terrific
logic. Yes, thank you, Mikey.
I'm stunned by it.
Are you shocked? You learned something new. No. I think they did it more of a publicity stunt because, honestly, when they were getting married, neither of them... Their career was going in the tubes.
No, I don't think Britney's...
Britney's
was
wasn't.
No, I don't think
it really was
at all.
Was.
No, it wasn't. And you know what?
Guys, you're arguing about Britney Spears.
No. I'm just saying. No, what I'm trying to say is the reason she married Kevin, because, and I can't believe I'm even talking about this, but she was just bored with her life.
Or do you want to say that, or because she's supposedly this virginal princess, and now...
Uh-huh.
Well, she met this guy that she was into, and she wanted to marry him, and she stopped working for, like, a couple of years. She needed some time off.
I feel like I've been missing out.
Right. And she'll get some class back. The class that she lost.
What?
When she married him. Exactly. Thank nice. You very much. Let's go ahead and get into entertainment.
Oh, this feels so good to itch.
Yes, it does. Now, guys, Christopher Guest has done those movies like Waiting for Guffman, A Mighty Wind. What was the dog show one?
Best in Show.
Best in Show,
yeah.
That's the only one I've seen.
Don't forget This is Spinal Tap.
I've seen This is Spinal Tap, but I didn't hold it in the same category because Rob Reiner directed it. Christopher Guest hadn't. So I'm kind of classifying this in a different...
different genre.
Different right. Folder in the file cabinet, me old noggin, you know what I'm saying? Now, I've only seen one of these films, and that was Best in Show, and I thought it was funny, but I also thought it wasn't as funny as everyone was saying. People rave about these flicks. There are some people that are funny, like Fred Willard, he's always good. Eugene Levy can be very funny. But they've got a new film called For Your Consideration, and it's about when you make a film and the studio starts pushing your performance for your consideration, maybe want to give them an award or give the film an award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put them in Variety and like Movie City News, all those different websites.
Right, and they send out DVDs. Now they've gone back to video cassette, haven't they? Because so many people have been pirating the DVDs.
Well, some studios do, but most studios just send out the DVDs.
Right, and I guess this film is kind of making fun of it. Now, the interesting thing about Christopher Guest films is they don't script the films, do they? It's just a rough outline, or it might be a tight outline, I don't know. But they improvise their dialogue.
Definitely scripted. They have stuff to work with.
Right, but they improvise their dialogue, don't they?
Script. Maybe it gives them a lot of leeway to improvise. Maybe that's just what it is.
They just basically burn film.
Right. Just roll it. They shouldn't be working in HD with tapes. That way,
yeah, they like give you a subject matter to cover during a scene.
Right.
And say talk.
See, I'm very fascinated by that because if you're a creative person, you could really make the scene anything you want. And he's got Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara. Parker Posey, and even this time he's got Ricky Gervais. So, hey, maybe it'll be good. Let's check out the trailer and let's see what we think.
Could I have your name, please?
Hack, Marilyn Hack, stage 11.
You were in that prison movie where you punched that little girl in the face.
No.
Marilyn Hack made quite the splash for her portrayal of Imogene the blind prostitute. And you know what they say about blind prostitutes? You really have to hand it to them. We can cut that out. I don't know why I got that.
I'm your agent. There is nothing more important to me in my life than you. Excuse me.
Victor Allen Miller, the venerable Broadway veteran best known as Irv the Footlong Wiener, now starring in the Sunfish Classics feature, Home for Purim. Where the heck have you been?
Oh, aren't you nice? Well, actually, I've been teaching in...
Well, that's a rhetorical question.
And action!
What kind of girl doesn't want to meet a nice fella?
I did meet a nice fella.
Her name is Mary Pat.
Or am I just going to miss sugar?
Mama! And cut!
I want you to add something from the bottom of your womanhood to make it a...
Tone some of the themes down a little bit.
How would that be?
Just tone down the Jewishness so everyone could enjoy it.
No.
Oh, jeez.
What does a producer do? Lots of paying for sometimes ridiculous things like snacks.
Apparently there's something on the internet. Somebody brought up the idea of there being a possibility for an Oscar.
For Home for Purim?
The internet. That's the one with email, right?
Yes.
I think you're looking at an Academy Award nomination also.
Did he just say what I thought he said?
What?
Yes, Victor!
Oscars. I smell Oscars.
You see what a little buzz can do in this town?
I predicted it. I said this is the one. This is the vehicle.
Morley, you told me not to do it.
I hope you like it as much as we like doing it.
Someone's killed their children and made them into cookies, and I want to go see that.
Uh-huh.
Follow me around a circle.
Yeah, I'm stationed in the glass.
And we saw. You're Debbie. You're Brian.
Is this close from the A-list?
Hooray for Hollywood.
It's got old-time music in it.
In every actor, there is a tiger, an ass, and a nightingale. You never know which one's going to show up.
Hooray for Hollywood. Hooray for Hollywood.
After all that dry humor, I need a drink. So what do you guys think? You going to check this out? I know this is right up Vanessa's alley. You bet you can't wait to see it, huh?
Nope. I'll wait for cable. Thanks.
It's not as good as say something like Judge Judy.
Judge Judy rocks.
They need to be the Judge Judy.
She's
movie.
The boss. Applesauce.
Yeah. Now, Steven, you went to see the Borat movie. What did you think? Was it funny?
It was hilarious.
Hilarious. Did you guys hear about this? That I haven't seen the film, so there's a couple of drunk college kids in there.
Yeah.
And they're apparently suing the producers of the film. They're attempting to, because the film made them look like such jackasses that they said that it's ruined their character and it's embarrassed them in front of all the people they know. The funny part of the story is they're suing for $25,000.
Sucks being stupid.
$25,000?
Why bother? It's like a loyalty.
Man, we're going to sue them for so much money.
I mean, they had to assign releases and all that other crap.
And you know those releases are airtight, man.
We were drunk when we signed it, man. We know what we signed.
The thing is that people are dumb enough to fall for that. Like, actually think, or even not know who Sacha Baron Cohen is and who this character is.
Right, and another thing about the film is how much of it, not all of it is real, right? Did you sense that some of it was
scripted? Some of it, yeah. There's parts.
Some of it was a little phony.
Yeah.
But that's okay because the film's funny, right?
There's a scene in there for about 5 or 10 minutes that's probably scripted.
Right, but it's making a lot of money and stuff, so it's a big hit, I guess.
I went and saw The Departed as well.
Uh-huh.
There's a part where there's a Pink Floyd song that's playing towards the end.
Right.
The Van Morrison cover.
Yeah, and this dude behind me, two seats behind me, starts singing along.
Oh, Jesus. Oh. No, that's the worst.
And I'm just like, all I could hear was him singing. It pulled me clean out of the movie. It was just like,
dude, will you shut the hell up?
Just do that slow turn and look at him.
The worst part is I remember seeing Alien Resurrection in the theater, and I actually heard a person said it repeatedly behind me. Dude, that is so fake.
Oh, I hate people who do that.
You really shouldn't admit that you saw Alien Resurrection in the theater.
Hey, I'm a huge Ron Perlman fan.
Who isn't?
Who loves the Beast? I do. Hey, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo. What do you guys say? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I think so.
Blow.
Okay. Hey, guys, this week on the Sundance Channel, I don't know if you guys have it. I have the pretentious package on my DirecTV, so I have...
That comes with IFC, right?
Yeah, I have IFC, Sundance. But there's this new show called The Iconoclasts. And it's a very interesting show. This week it had Fiona Apple and Quentin Tarantino. And what it is on the show, every week they'll have a couple of people like that. Of course, she's a musician, she's a singer, songwriter, he's a filmmaker. And they get together and talk to each other about things. And it's very interesting. At first I was like,
what will these two have to talk about?
But they have a lot to talk about, and it's very interesting. And they also relate to things in the same way when you're creative. And also, one thing that creative people, I guess they can understand, is after you create something, there's also that the kind of high and buzz you have from creating something, and then it goes away after you release it. And it's kind of, you kind of wander blindly until you find something to get your interest again. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's a very interesting show, and I suggest everyone check it out. Here's a clip.
I won't write a song unless it serves me in some way where I feel like I have to write the song.
Well,
to make myself feel better. You know, if you're not overflowing with something, then why? Then there's nothing to give.
To me, the writing the dialogue is so easy. I actually feel just a touch of a fraud taking credit for it, even though I'm protective of it. I feel like, you know, it's just like, it's like some sort of God antenna, and it's like, if it's, you know, it's
and most of the time is spent with just keeping the antenna out there. That's like it. 90% of the time, and then all of a sudden you go, okay, I'm full, and you sit down, and you sit down wherever you're sitting down, and it goes. Bleh.
Now, one thing,
I want one of those antennas.
Me too.
Got it.
One thing that's cool about this episode, Bill, is that Quentin takes her around to the sets, tells her stuff about Grindhouse, which is Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino's new movie that's coming out. It's a joint effort. They're each doing their own story. One of them is a zombie story, and the trailer's on YouTube, and it looks freaking awesome.
Yeah. And what's the other one he's doing with Kurt Russell?
Death Proof. One story is called Planet Terror, and the other is called Death Proof. And it has a huge cast, and it looks great. I can't wait till this comes out. But he talks a lot about that and his working experience with Robert Rodriguez. Robert Rodriguez makes an appearance in the show, and it's a really interesting show. And, you know, it might be like from week to week, there might be somebody I don't think I'm interested in. But the way the show handles the guests that week, they make it interesting. So I highly recommend the show. I'd check it out. It's very interesting. Just premiered this week. All right, guys. Heroes this week. It was a lot better than last week. I thought it was... I mean, there wasn't a lot of action or anything. Don't get me wrong. But I think what really hurt the show last week is just focusing on a few characters. I think the show's better when it juggles all of the different characters.
Juggles like one character every 15 minutes or so, it should.
Definitely, you know, the Nikki minutes. And DL stuff was just way too much last week.
Right, yeah. And they've separated them this week where now Nikki wakes up, and yet, didn't I tell you, she's okay. She's not dead or anything. She's okay.
And they just stunned her heart, you know.
Yeah, I just massaged her heart a little. And then you've got DL and his son Micah on the road. They encounter this car accident. And, hey, who pulls up behind him but Hero and Ando? And did it seem to you that Hero waited till the car exploded and froze it because that would be cooler looking than freezing it before it exploded.
Well, he knows what looks good.
Yeah, he's like, this would be better for the show.
This is what the comic book page should look like.
Yeah. Hey, it is more exciting. I'm glad he didn't do it while it was just a little flame on the ground. There's this whole deal with Peter and Nathan, and they've introduced Nathan Petrelli's wife, who's the super hot Rena Sofer, but she's in a wheelchair. Nathan was driving and she was crippled. He feels guilty. Whenever he looks at her, he feels guilty. So that gives him license to screw around with the blonde, right?
Right.
I like how
he rationalizes in his head. Yeah.
And he's got this slimy, I don't know who the actor is who plays the reporter, but that guy plays a slime ball in everything I've ever seen him in.
Yeah.
Basically, Peter is telling him that he needs this painting, and who bought the painting, the missing panel to their giant comic book, but that mafia guy or whatever in Las Vegas, right? The
right.
Organized crime guy. There was some comic relief in the show. Last week, I wasn't really too into Claire's storyline with meeting her faux real parents who turned out to be actors, I guess. This week, everyone's going out of town. It's just her and her brother, Zach, who's really annoying. He finds her videotape and starts watching it. And I love the little bit. If you look closely, when he's looking at it, it shows her getting run over by a car. Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Like,
like from the car point of view.
But here's the part. She's like, oh, it's just special effects. It's just something that we're doing as a project or whatever. And he takes a staple gun and he staples her in the hand. I don't care if I had a healing power or not. I would have slapped the shit out of him. Would you have
so what? What if you didn't have healing power?
You it's know, like, but you were wrong, and now this is like 3 inches into my hand. And then he sees it heal, and he's all freaking out. And I love this, how they're trying to get him out of the car. Check this out.
Just give me the damn tape.
I'm going to put this thing on YouTube, make like $1 million. YouTube's free, you idiot.
You're not helping. Kyle, no one can see what's on that tape.
Are you an alien or something? Is he an alien too?
Yeah, we're gonna anal probe you.
Zach, stop scaring him.
I'm not coming out until Mom and Dad get home.
Anything involving my anus scares me.
So she explains to him that she wants to be a part of the family and it would basically ruin their family.
And we won't be a family anymore.
But he does it, and I'm pretty sure...
Welcome to the real world, honey.
I'm pretty sure her brother's retarded.
He rides a short
bus. Haircut.
I thought the most interesting thing about the show was Matt Parkman's storyline, the guy who can read minds.
Mm-hmm. Greg Grunberg.
The only thing I didn't understand about this is Clea DuVall, who plays his FBI partner.
Is she looking more dykey as she ages? Holy crap, honey.
I didn't know it was possible,
Would it kill you to look a little more feminine? Just a little bit more?
Well, she's got a lead on maybe she thinks this guy is Siler, because they found a new victim, and it's a guy who's charred beyond recognition, and he's giving off radiation, right? So what does she decide to do? She decides to go to the house where they found, you know, the fingerprint that led to this guy without backup. That part made no sense to me at all, because already they've encountered Siler, and she thinks this guy is Siler, and he turns out not to be. And Greg Grunberg shot him a couple of times, and he got up and he flew away, so I think I'd want some backup. So they go there, and there's radiation, so they get out, and it turns out that the guy is not Siler. He just has this power where he gives off radiation from his hands and can burn things, and his wife is dying of cancer. And
he's really handy when you go camping.
Right. Yes, he is. He could start fires and all that stuff. And I thought it was a good use of Matt's powers to show he could tell him what his wife was thinking, who was dying. I thought they missed an opportunity there when he says, what else does she say? And then she goes, bee, and dies. I would have said...
Yeah, well, that was the scene I had the biggest problem with, because it was a little too Green Mile for me.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, like, why don't you just rip off a book and a movie? Well, I don't know. It was just very like it. I don't want to say it was a ripoff, but, I mean, maybe it was an homage.
Yeah, I thought it was an effective scene. I thought it was a good use of his powers, because you think of somebody like, he helped the situation get away without violence, really, except for the poor nurse who got his hand burned into her arm, which I think, do you notice her face? She just kind of goes like, ow, but I think I would be like, holy crap. It's like, have you ever burnt yourself just on the finger?
Yes.
This guy, she's got a hand imprint on her arm. I think I'd be screaming.
She's got second degree burns on her arm from her hand.
She handles pain well.
It's like a third degree burn. It looked like a big blister.
I think it was the same nurse from Smallville a few weeks back.
Yeah.
She's probably a good nurse. Great nurse on TV.
I'm entering a code red.
Now, the big reveal this episode has to do with Micah, DL, and Nikki's son, where it turns out he has powers of his own, and he used them so assuredly that I think that he's had them for a while and he just hasn't told anybody, because he repairs the payphone just by touching it, and he calls his mom, and he knows he's not talking to his mom. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. We learned her name is Jessica, and I was like, where did this come from? Because she's talking to her friend Tina, the redhead, and she's like, her name's Jessica. And I was like, when the hell did this?
You know, she likes the name, so they had she to give gave it.
She gave her name Jessica. Yeah. I guess
they always wanted to have the name Jessica. So.
It's easier to differentiate between it. It's either the evil version of her or the good version.
People were calling her Dark Nikki.
Yeah.
So I guess now she's Jessica, loading her handgun, and Micah calls, and it's very Terminator-ish, you know, where are you at? And he's at the Tiki Motel, so...
and stuff like that.
So you know that the hunt begins in the next episode, right?
Tiki
so
Motel.
Here's the one thing I'm confused about is Peter talked to Hero, and he told Hero that save the cheerleader, save the world. So I'm thinking, okay, they're going to get that done. But it looks like, are they just driving around? Now they have no idea where they're going.
They need GPS. I think they're lost.
They need to figure out where this damn cheerleader is and stop driving this Nissan Versa just blindly around the country.
Did we get that again this week whenever he showed the comic book? He's like, look, Nissan Versa.
Yeah, because Micah's like, hey, how'd you get this comic book? This isn't even out yet. He's like, Nissan Versa.
Yeah, because he bought the comic book in the future.
Right. Yeah. And so Nissan Versa. And he's like, it would have been great if this would have been genius if Micah goes, what kind of car is that? I've never seen it before. Oh, it's Nissan Versa. It doesn't come out till next month. And it's like, oh, God, come on. Stop shilling for this freaking car on the show. And it's like, Claire, it's your 16th birthday. A Nissan Versa. You know, it's just like everyone drives a freaking Versa.
Everybody's got a blue Nissan Versa.
And they're even like, hey, Heroes drive it. Why not you? Were you guys happy about Heroes this week? I thought it was much better.
Yeah, it was
it was much more entertaining. It moved faster.
Now, let's go ahead and get into Smallville. A lot of times on Smallville, we'll make fun of it, but it doesn't mean, again, that we don't like the show. We love it. But I'm going to say right now that this week's episode of Smallville, there's nothing to make fun of. It was quite possibly one of the best episodes. Now, here's the thing about the episode is, I guess you could call this an early Thanksgiving episode, I guess, because they celebrate Thanksgiving in it. But the show begins with the hunky Green Arrow and Lois. They're making out. They're getting down. And I don't know about you, Bill, but I was a little disappointed because she says, I've got a surprise for you. I'll be right back. And I was like, we're going to get Lois in some lingerie or something. But then she comes out and she's just wearing his
shirt. A man's t-shirt.
Yeah.
Not t-shirt, button
down. Is this risky business?
Where's the high heels and leather, man? What the hell is this crap? But he's gone. She's like, huh? Where'd he go? It's because he heard a carjacking below where he lives, and there's people getting carjacked. So he takes a long time to get in his Green Arrow.
It was like single shot. Like, he gets his crossbow. He gets his glasses. He gets his coat.
He pulls. Like,
then you would have thought the people were dead and the car gone.
Yeah, he opens a drawer. He pulls this out, and he's like tying his shoe. And it's like, Lois is just getting in a t-shirt. Shouldn't she be out here by now? So finally, he gets down there and he whoops some ass. Whoops some bad guy ass. Except for he makes a guy crash in his car. But he looks up and the first guy holding a handgun, and he shoots Green Arrow. Green Arrow's hit in the chest. It looks like a mortal wound. It's pretty bad.
Yes, he is just pouring blood.
Yeah, he falls
it's
down.
Like a waterfall.
You just see blood gushing everywhere, and then it cuts to the main titles, and I was freaking out. I was like, do I sit through these titles and enjoy this song by Remy Zero, or do I fast forward? Do I fast forward and learn the fate of Green Arrow? And I decided I had to fast forward. I had to know if he was dead. Because this show, it throws those kind of curveballs where they'll just kill someone suddenly like that. And I was very concerned because he's one of my favorite characters. And I was very worried.
I've been scrubbing him real hard.
I don't know what that means, Green Arrow. So, meanwhile, there's this they have nothing for Lana and Lex to do this season.
Absolutely nothing.
And this is how painful. You know.
When they come on, I'm like, oh, no!
It's like, did anything kill these characters more than making them a couple? She's like, Lex, I decided I'm going to volunteer at this halfway house that I heard you talking about on the phone. And I think it'd be very interesting. And he's like, whoa, hold on. Choose a different charity.
These guys are bad guys.
He's like, you'd have to deal with criminals. She's like, no, I pretty much want to do this. And okay, they're setting that up for later. And why the hell would she want to is another thing. But anyway, besides that, Lois shows up at Clark's and she's very upset because she was getting her Mac on with Green Arrow and he disappeared and she's really pissed off at him. So she's like, he's not invited to Thanksgiving. And she's like, did you hear another thing? That Green Arrow was shot. They reported it at the Daily Planet. And he's like, uh-oh, because Clark knows who all he is. So he goes to pay Oliver Queen a visit, and I don't know about you guys, but Ollie's acting a little strange, and he's kind of being a dick. Let's check it out.
You're looking awfully healthy.
It's called exercise, Clark. It's something we mere mortals have to do from time to time.
According to the Daily Planet, the Green Arrow was shot last night.
If I was shot, don't you think I'd be laying in a hospital or a morgue? I'm not bulletproof like you are, Clark. Besides...
Touché.
You of all people should know better than to believe everything you read in the newspaper.
It's the Daily Planet, not the Inquisitor. A witness saw you lying in a pool of blood.
Well, maybe it was someone else with a preference for green.
What's your Green Arrow gear doing out in the middle of the room?
I'm uploading video. Check this out.
YouTube.
See that?
He's gonna make millions.
Now I've got footage of the scumbags, so if they try to get away, I can track them down.
Oliver, you're getting sloppy. Your gear's out in the middle of the room. The door's unlocked. That could have been Lois coming through the door.
Yeah, you know what? I've had a lot on my mind lately, all right? Apparently you were too busy using your powers to bail Hayden to realize that there's a crime wave in Metropolis.
Ooh.
Are you ever going to get off your ass and finally do something for a change?
I didn't come here to be insulted.
Well, you know what? There's the door, Clark. I don't remember you being invited.
Oliver, what's going on with you?
Clark, I don't need to take advice from someone whose only worry in life is to protect his own identity.
That's a lie. You know it.
Let me tell you something. When I'm out there, when I'm out on the streets, I'm protecting people. All right? I got much bigger things to worry about, like staying alive.
Whoa. Oh, man. This is getting pretty hardcore.
You okay? Fine. Just get out of here.
You sure? Go!
Don't leave, Clark. He needs help. It's obvious. Be a good friend.
He's an enabler, that damn Clark Kent.
You shouldn't leave people when they're in that situation.
Yeah, it's like, look, I know you're in a really bad
mood. I know
you're
jonesing.
But you need help, and you need a friend. You need someone to lean on. Come here and give me a hug. And he's like, no, Clark, I don't want a hug. And he's like, damn, you're super strength, but this hug is so cuddly. Oh. He's like, I feel much better, Clark. That was in the director's cut you'll see on the DVD set. Now, what it turns out is that Ollie is financing this scientist. I know she's a scientist because she's wearing a lab coat and his wife.
And he calls her doctor.
Yeah, she's a doctor. She's come up with this serum, which is an original idea on Smallville, having a serum.
Yes.
That will heal you. It will heal wounds.
At least it's not made out of meteor rock this time.
Yes, yes. And it's not green, which is good. But here's a side effect. Here's a side effect, though. You think, hey, great, something I can inject and my wounds heal? No. Rage virus, hello. It makes you very angry when you use it, and you become a
like
jerk.
Steroids.
It's a steroid.
Roid rage is what
it is. It's a performance enhancement drug.
But apparently Lex has found out about this, and he's paying... I never understood, are they working together, or is he paying her more to smuggle some of her research to Lex?
You shouldn't think too hard when it comes to Smallville.
I think he's smuggling stuff, getting her to smuggle it.
Okay, well, what happens is... Now, oh man, he is so angry, and he's got video of the guy who shot him. So he's going to go looking for this guy, and he wants revenge. And when he finds him, I love this scene, and this actually did surprise me on Smallville. The dude jumps off the building and lands and is dead, and then gets up like the Terminator or something. And it turns out this lady was using the very halfway house Lana wanted to work at.
Wow.
She is using them as guinea pigs and
that Lex owns
serum,
or whatever.
And it's making them all angry and carjacking people. So, I mean, I love the way the script comes together like that, where it involves all the characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it that was, that's the only reason Lex was needed in this episode.
Well, I thought that was very well done. And here's another thing. Lana goes to visit Chloe, and they're going to have lunch, and everything's nice, but she faints. Oh, my God. What is wrong with Lana? Yeah. So Lana goes to the doctor, and I know people are thinking, oh, my God, she has cancer. She's got a tumor. No, no, no. Pregnant. She's preggers. Knocked up. Remember that episode?
Little bald baby.
The Halloween episode or the costume ball?
Oh, yeah.
Her and Lex knock boots. Pregnant. She's going to
have the fire.
She's going to have a bald baby.
No, this one won't have hair sex. One and won't be able to grow in.
It will need a baby Merkin like Surrey Creek.
Baby Merkin. Holy shit.
Awesome.
He outdid me on outrageousness with that one.
Now, get this, baby guys. Merkin. Let's cut to when he goes to attack the guy who confesses. He goes, hey, I'm in a halfway house. This lady's pumping me full of junk. It's making me
invincible,
immortal, or whatever. And he says, he basically figures out Lex is funding this. And does he let the guy go, apparently? Because that criminal goes right to the sciences lady and murders her because they think Green Arrow did it at first. So Green Arrow goes to Lex's, and he's like, sign over all your assets to these people. Do it now. And he's like, you're insane, but okay. And he signs it.
No, he's about to sign it.
Yeah, and he gets a drop on him. He pulls out a gun. He goes, which do you think is faster, a bullet or an arrow? And he's like, find out. And this part was so awesome. He fires the arrow, and Lex fires it at the same time, and it shows him bullet time, Bill. How much were you geeking out
Nothing.
At this?
Better than gratuitous bullet time.
And it goes, Vanessa, they show the bullet and the arrow pass each other in slow motion, and it hits each of them.
Same time.
Lex gets hit by the arrow, Green Arrow gets hit by the bullet, and they both fly away from each other, and you're like,
yeah,
oh,
because they both hold so much inertia, it just blows them back.
Yeah, apparently Lex has like a 44 Magnum or something. It looked like a little 22.
No,
or
I
something.
Think that was a howitzer for how far it blew the Green Arrow back.
That's what they need, is the slow motion thing. So, of course, you know, Green Arrow's like, hey, I'm shot again. No matter. Got my little hypodermic needle. But it turns out, unfortunately, Lex is dead. I couldn't believe they killed Lex. And I was very upset over this. So Clark shows up just in time, and he's going to help him. And I love the part where he goes, just let him die. And Clark looks pissed, and he takes him, he throws him across the room. And he uses the serum, and he injects it into Lex, and Lex comes back to life. And I almost forgot about one of the best scenes.
Lex did ham it up a bit, being dead for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you see him start to move, and he's okay. But I forgot about this scene earlier. Do you guys remember when Lois shows up to Ollie's penthouse, and Green Arrow's there? She's like, oh, my God. So she grabs a dumbbell, hits him over the head. He turns around, shoves her so hard, she flies onto a glass table, and it shatters. And do you guys realize that last week, Lex was there in the penthouse?
He got thrown onto a glass table.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I'm thinking Ollie goes through a lot of glass tables.
Yes, he has glass table replacement policy.
And that's why Bill and I have decided we're moving to Metropolis and opening a glass table company. We will make millions. Because do you know how many people... I swear Lana's been thrown on a glass coffee table this season.
Oh, yeah,
season
several
two.
Times.
So is Clark.
We're going to make Clark. Millions, all right?
Chloe's been thrown on one, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's a great part. She reaches back and she pulls and looks at her hand. It's covered in blood. And at first I thought when she got thrown on the table, there's
my
actually...
kidneys.
I thought there was a bottle of ketchup on the table and she landed on that. And that's why she had ketchup all over her hands. But it turned out it was blood and she went to the hospital. The hospital made an appearance this week. They can't go a single episode without that.
The hospital is a character.
But guys, this isn't all over. Clark's main problem about this whole episode, what he was worrying about, was Thanksgiving, because his dad would give thanks and have everyone give thanks, and he didn't want to do that because he
first
wasn't
one
thankful.
Without his dad, yes.
And you even see that his mom is getting really hot and heavy with Lionel Luther. She says she's not ready yet, but she still wants him at Thanksgiving, so they become really good friends. You know, think of them as best friends who will eventually have benefits, right?
And she wants her turkey
yes.
base.
Right, exactly, Bill. I don't know if I could even have put that better than you just did. When the Thanksgiving moment arrived, you know, it turns out that Lois and Ollie, they've made up. Everyone's there. Chloe's there. Jimmy, he's got some business with his family. But they're all there around the table, and it's just really happy. And then this moment happens. And when this moment happened, it made me wish I was a Kent and I was there eating with them. Let's check it out. Oh,
wow.
I love this song, too.
If I could have everyone's attention, please, I'd like to make a little announcement. Our family has a tradition, way before I was even born, where everyone takes a moment to say what they're most thankful for in their lives. I would just like to say that I'm most thankful for my mom and dad.
Aww.
Whose faith in me taught me to have faith in myself. Thank you.
Good speech, good speech. Raise the sound of the music, please.
Can I just say,
how come it didn't play everybody else's things? What were they thankful for?
Because it couldn't match how thankful Clark was.
Can I just say something, guys? I love you guys. I love doing the show. She said, no one loves, I want to thank you guys for doing the show with me for all these years. And let's dig in. Steven, you got your turkey dinner?
I'm carving that turkey.
I love Hungry Man.
Wait, Steven, don't eat turkey. You'll fall asleep. Let's just enjoy the song for a minute, okay, guys? I wish I was a kid.
I wish I had a guitar to tap.
He's making the noise. Emmy. He just ate something good.
Yeah, he had some Campbell's soup.
He hadn't said a word all night. Is everything okay?
Everything's fine.
Could there be a colder meal than the one they're eating?
Yes.
They're at the end of a 12-foot-long table between the two of
these
them.
And these two servants in the room. How awkward would that
be? The wide shot. It's just both of them at the end of the tables.
You know what that really showed us is that they're really a million miles apart from each
other. Yes, there's so much distance between them.
There's a really well taught. Steven, why are you laughing?
You're talking about reading into things. That's an excellent read. I'm laughing.
I just love how heavy-handed this show is.
They should have had a bigger table between them. More than
Emmy-worthy.
Yes, Emmy-worthy, baby. That's Smallville this week,
okay,
and it
but
warms.
But what we need to clarify here, we make fun of the show because we love it.
I love this show. That ending was genius. I felt a warmth wash over me, much like a hot flash that a woman with menopause would feel.
Smallville is the best comedy on television.
But it had some awesome action scenes, too. I mean, it had some comic book action.
Glass table breaking.
But I do have to say this. Give Green Arrow a cool mask. The sunglasses aren't working for me.
Yeah.
I hope he gets his own show.
I do, too. I think that would be awesome. I really love Green Arrow. He's an awesome dude.
We couldn't have that now, could we?
Why don't we get into Lost? What do you think?
Let's forgot to say please.
Could we please get into Lost? How's that?
Yes, please.
Yes.
You need to be in surgery yesterday.
All right, then. Whatever you need, it's yours.
I didn't say I was going to do it. I just wanted you to understand how you're going to die.
Stat.
Listen, whatever they say, don't believe them. They're going to kill your boyfriend, just like they killed mine.
I would like for you to put this on and come with me, please.
I'm not putting a goddamn
bag. You think I'm
going
to put a hood over my head because you said please? No, Kate, I think you're going to put a hood over your head because the man standing behind me, that man is going to kill Sawyer.
And it makes you look
pretty.
If you
put this on and you come with me, there's something you can do for us that will save his
life. Blue blockers.
I ain't running. Because there ain't no place to go.
When were you planning on telling me this?
Never.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Because I wanted you to believe that we had a damn chance.
I'll get it out. Your tumor. But I need your word. I need what you promised me before.
I need to get the hell off this island. Done.
Ben's just gone into surgery.
Ben just put his life in the hands of one of them. Shepard wasn't even on Jacob's list.
What? Who the hell's Jacob?
Back away from the table.
Jack.
Back away from the table! Now! Now get in here and bring that walkie-talkie.
Close your eyes, Freckles.
Jacob!
Close your eyes!
Did she walk in on him taking a pee?
No! No!
In the shower.
Oh,
he was
Daddy,
jerking it.
There? Pick it up. Pick it up, Daddy. Pick it up, dammit.
I'm here, what?
Give your walkie to Kate.
Why the hell would I do that?
Because if you don't, the doctor's gonna let Ben die.
Jack!
Kate? You have about an hour head start before they come after you.
Jack, please.
If I don't get a call from you in the next hour, I'm going to know something went wrong, and he dies!
I'm happy without you!
Yes, you are. Go.
Jack, I said!
Go, now.
Jack!
Hey, damn it, run!
And that was the cliffhanger. She's in love with Jack. She's not in love with Sawyer.
No,
she
just wants a gangbang with Sawyer and Jack.
No, no, no.
She's always wanted two guys at once.
No, guys, seriously. She's in love with Jack, and she was just intimate with Sawyer because that's what she needed then. Her whole flashback was her married to Nathan Fillion, captain of...
Captain Mal Reynolds.
Yeah, Captain Mal Reynolds. Which, I'm sorry, but his part, I was really excited he was going to be on the show. It was kind of not much for him to do.
It was incredibly underwritten.
Yeah, it was. It didn't have much for it. But it showed she was Susie Homemaker, if you will, and she was bored with that lifestyle. She even calls the marshal on the phone saying, "Hey, I've settled down. Stop looking for me." And he's like, "I would have thought that was true, Kate." He was right.
We also learned why he died in the first season. He can't act.
Right. He's been taking lessons, though, this whole time. So he's gotten a little bit better. Now, there's cut to Locke and Saeed. They're burying Echo, and they've got his Jesus stick. And there's a little message written there, "Point your head up and look north," I believe it said.
Yeah.
Their scenes... I wanted more. They didn't show enough. I almost thought they only had them in the episode to kind of appease us. But don't get me wrong, though. If this would have been an episode without the long break afterwards, I would say, you know, it really is... It wasn't a bad episode. But the fact that there's such a long break after this, it's kind of like, damn, is that all I get? You know what I mean? The cliffhanger wasn't that big a cliffhanger that I thought. I almost was thinking in my head they were going to find the flame hatch. The one called The Flame with the guy in the eye patch. And that would kind of end on a cliffhanger. But they didn't show any of that. No.
That would have been great.
It was more about Jack dealing with Ben and his surgery and everything. And basically...
But, you know, why didn't Kate say, instead of going, I can't. Why didn't she say there's nowhere to run?
They're going to kill Sawyer, you know.
Yeah. I mean, she was very upset. And here's another thing. Do you guys remember Kate kind of being a badass before?
Yeah.
Her punching guys in the face, her shooting guys in the legs. How come all of a sudden now she's this weakling who gets pushed around? And I think her and Sawyer could have taken them and shot them and gotten away. I would have enjoyed that.
He doesn't want to, though, because of he knows there's nowhere to go. And she doesn't want to because she doesn't want to leave Jack.
Right. So basically when it comes back, we're going to see what happens with this. Do you think they're going to let Ben die? I think he's a good character for the show. Eventually got to kill the bad guy, but I think it'll be a little too soon. I mean, basically, Jack knows if he does this and they do get away, they know where Kate and Sawyer are if they ever need him back. It's not like they're going anywhere but their camp on the island, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's the other island where they're supposed to.
But Jack doesn't know that. And here's another thing. Jack does not expect to ever get out of there alive, I would think, if he does let Henry die, or Ben die, or Benry die, whatever you guys want to call him. I don't care. But I think the guy who plays Ben is a great actor. He does a great job at being creepy and all that. And I think Juliet, that actress, what's her name, Bill?
Elizabeth Mitchell?
Elizabeth Mitchell. She's great, too. She's very creepy. I don't like her look, and she's like... Oh, it's okay, Jack. It's just like she can brainwash you with her look.
She's evoking the the pedophile that she played in Running Scared.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you guys seen Running Scared yet?
No.
Her, she plays a woman who also her husband, they're child predators, and they're very creepy, if you ever see that movie. Hey, that was Lost until February. I'm going to say I wasn't real disappointed. It was about what I expected to happen, and I can't wait to see more when it comes back.
Yeah, but I loved how they said, tune in to Daybreak for features about upcoming Lost.
It's like, oh.
And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I can't do that.
It's like, I think they'll be on YouTube later in the week. I don't have to watch Daybreak. But you know what? I am going to TiVo Daybreak and see what it's like. I'm going to do it.
Wow. Well, okay. Well, you can take one for the team. What was the Stallone movie? Was that Daylight or
Daylight?
Daylight. Daylight. Yeah. Okay. Now, Bill, you're going to watch Daybreak, right?
Fine.
Now, Bill.
Fine.
When the hell is the Knights of Prosperity coming on?
I saw a commercial for it this week during Dancing with the Stars. They're pushing it all the way to January now.
Oh, but
it was supposed to premiere in November, and they're pushing it to January.
I do have some good news about it. They're filming the 12th episode. The original order was 13 episodes. ABC has just ordered 9 more episodes. So that
awesome.
That is a good sign.
Well, obviously they think the show's funny.
Right. And if it does get canceled, hopefully they'll release a full season box set so we get to see every episode.
And we're still waiting for Ed. Thanks, you know.
Yeah.
Some Ed DVDs.
I got to say that recently I've been on a Ed nostalgia kick where I get sad and I just want to watch my Ed. How hard is it for a TV station to acquire the syndication rights to the show? I mean, seriously, can I please have my Ed even in reruns?
Well, CMT, the country channel in Canada, gets it. I mean, come
on.
Yeah.
Is there, I mean, can, okay, hey, let's say this, Bill, to our Canadian listeners who are watching Ed on the Canadian CMT, could you BitTorrent those episodes for
please.
Us? So we can compile every Ed and do that for us? Our friend up in Ottawa, we're talking to you. No, but seriously, guys, let's talk about BSG. What do you guys say? Now, we know what happened last week with the whole virus, Cylon virus. This episode begins with the sending it a team to the Cylon ship. And didn't you guys love the effects of them maneuvering through all the dead raiders, like pushing them, bumping on the ship and everything?
That was, yes, I love maneuvers.
That was awesome. Okay, I just want to say something to the crew of Galactica. Hazmat uniforms. But I guess they can see that. They're in the raptor, they're like, hey, signs of oxygen, let's go in. And that's what they do. And they find a bunch of, did you guys start to get,
but still, if something was to kill them, you know, kill all the, them, would they not think, okay, do you not think bacteria, or do you think that it's something else that killed them? It's like,
right. I don't think they thought that, because remember, we've already established in BSG that Cylons don't get sick. Their blood is perfect. Remember all that? Rosalind, it cured her cancer. So I doubt that's even on their mind. They just know something happened to the Cylons, and they're investigating it. And there's a bunch of Cylons dead on the floor. And then when they start moving and crawling around, I started thinking, zombie Cylons! Awesome! I'm going to see one dig their mouth right into, like, one of their ankles and take a bite. And he's like, ah! And it turns out zombie silence. How great a twist would that be for BSG?
Nice.
Vaughn Moore, if you're listening, zombie silence.
Can we please have some zombie silence, please? That's what I love. They were lumbering zombie silence. Okay, cut to, they go back to the Galactica. They've determined that they're okay. At first, they think they're all infected, too. And I'm glad they didn't spend a long time with them getting their blood drawn and all that. They went ahead and said, you guys are clear.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that would have been real entertaining.
Yeah. 2 more weeks, and we'll have your blood chart. Oh, damn, we're going to just sit here? What I think is funny is he goes, everybody's okay. Come on out. Humans are not affected.
Not so fast, Boomer.
Yeah, you just stay here. And then he goes to Hilo, and he's like, we haven't tested her blood yet. I'll let you know. And Hilo's like, I hope she's okay. But he stands outside the plastic. It's like, dude, he said you're not affected. You're human. But
he's
like, he stays outside the plastic just in case. Now, there's some weird...
But he also gets mad at the doc because...
Yeah, he's like, what, you waited
till
last?
She isn't good enough.
Right. There's some weird stuff going on the Baystar with Baltar, and Deanna has decided to torture him and figure out if he knew about the virus. Did he help create it? Did Galactica... Like, they're starting to get really paranoid. Like, you and Galactica were in cahoots, and you decided to lead us there, and she just doesn't know what to do. And I thought there was a great scene where she's talking to him about God. She's talking about there's no such thing as coincidence. It's all God's will. Well, if it's God's will, then how come you guys all got a virus and you're dying? Is that God's will? And he's really kind of bringing up good points.
Mm-hmm.
Each week, the Cylons are starting to appear like a crazy cult. Maybe we should start covering this in cult news.
But it shows that they're really kind of... He's basically saying their ideas of God were based on humans interpreting what may be the word of God, so therefore it's flawed, so therefore they can't take it as law, right?
Right.
It's flawed. And there's this crazy scene where he's being tortured, and in his mind, Six, in his mind, is trying to comfort him, and they basically have sex. And I thought that scene was brilliant. I thought it was crazy, the stuff that they get away with on the show. Am I right?
Yeah, he was separating his mind from body and that.
Yeah, you could see Deanna. I don't know, she was confused. He was like, I love you and all this stuff. There's some crazy stuff going on there. But it turns out that Doc Cottle figures out what this is. It's caused by rats or something that humans developed. They developed an immunity a long time ago, humans have.
Yeah.
The bubonic plague.
And it turns out that Sharon's okay because she's given birth to a half-human baby, and she's been around humans a lot.
And it's not that she's been around humans, it's that she shared the blood of the human baby, half-human baby.
But you'd think she would develop some immunities herself, maybe, over time. I don't know. I'm just saying.
My head hurts.
But when they realize, they talk to the black zombie Cylon, and he basically says that they abandon them because if they die and reboot, they upload the resurrection ship, they would infect all the rest of the Cylons. So I love it. You see Apollo grinning, and he's like, what the hell are you grinning about? And here's a great scene where he explains what's on his mind. Let's check it out.
We jump to an area we know the Cylons use as a supply line, NCD 2539. We stay there, exposed. We look as if we're spoiling for a fight. They'll send their fleet, and where there's a fleet, there's a resurrection ship. Now, once the resurrection ship is within our reach, we execute our infected prisoners. We bug out. The executed prisoners download into the resurrection ship, and with them, the virus.
You sure the virus will download to a new body?
The Cylons are sure of it. They left. They're wounded out here to die alone with no hope of being rescued. It tells me all I need to know. And once the virus is in the resurrection ship, there'll be no stopping it.
Rescuers become carriers of the plague. Cylons themselves don't believe that they'll develop a cure.
Oh my God. This could be the end of the Cylons entirely.
Forever.
Genocide? So that's what we're about now.
They're not human. They were built, not born. No fathers, no mothers, no sons, no daughters.
I had a daughter. I held her in my arms.
And she was
happy.
It's
like, can someone ask Kilo to leave,
he's a
please?
Dangerous yeah.
Kept waiting for AC/DC.
So one
who made who?
You can rationalize it any way you want.
Good
we
Lord,
do this.
Stephen.
Thank you.
We wipe out their
Stephen,
race.
Get out.
They're no different than they are.
Fire!
You would think that Adama would pick up and go, you know what? Hey, Hilo, confined to quarters till we're done with this.
You know what the worst thing about Hilo is? He's been like this since season one. It's like,
right. Dude,
why do you gotta be such a dick?
Now, here's the thing. I'm not sure. It's not for me to judge, but what I like about the show is there's no easy answers. But here's the thing. They are going to Earth 2, the place that you want to go to find home. The Cylons are following you. And I love this part where he goes, they tried to live with us on New Caprica. And Rosalind's like, excuse me, what did you just say? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, they tried to live with us. She's like, shut up, all right? I'm going to pretend you didn't say that because you weren't down there. You weren't one of the people who got killed. You're up here lounging around in Galactica jogging and stuff.
Yeah, it's you weren't down there with the bombers, you know, blowing themselves up.
So basically, he says to them, you can try to justify this all you want, but he's doing the same thing about his own personal decision. He's justifying it in his own mind, and he decides he's not going to let this happen. He's not going to let them commit genocide on the Cylons. So what he does is he sucks the oxygen out of the cell before they arrive. And can I just say, the effects on the show impress me every week. The space
scenes. So if they know that they're going to Earth, why don't they just turn around and go back to old Caprica?
Because I'm guessing there's Cylons there. I don't know. It's like, oh, you guys are going? Okay, well, let's do a little U-turn. But seriously, I know that Hilo...
too easy, I guess.
Hilo is thinking that he doesn't want that to happen because... Do you guys notice that Sharon even says, you know what, I've taken my position... seriously, I'm wearing the uniform. I'm going to follow orders. If they want to commit genocide, that's what they're going to do. I'm going to follow orders. She's a Cylon, and she says that. And Hilo's like, no, I don't think so. You know, it's like, you know, he says, I'm not a traitor, but he should be stripped of his uniform, shouldn't he?
Right.
For not following orders.
Kill or be killed.
But even at the end, after all this takes place, Adama's, do you show a kind of little smile on his face? He's glad they didn't have to do this because, you know, it's not a position I would want to make. He even says, hey, I just do what the president tells me, so you're going to have to make this decision. She says, oh, passing the buck, huh? And he's like, yeah, I'd rather. And well, that's what I love about Rosalind. She'll make these tough decisions, and that was a tough decision. She made it. But also, I knew at the same time, there's no way they're going to kill off the Cylons because you wouldn't have a TV show anymore.
Right.
Right? They also, did you notice they blew up the beacon on the ship? As they're flying away with the Cylons, the dead Cylon ship blows up, so we didn't have to have the, hey, we got the beacon in the cargo hold for the rest of the season, so we'll just pull that out later, you know what I mean? They got rid of that storyline. I'm glad. That's what I love about the show, is it brings up questions that they don't necessarily answer. They just let us figure it out. And I'm just going to say that there are times when Hilo kind of gets on my nerves a little bit.
He's a pussy.
Meow.
And then Adama forgave him at the end.
Yeah, he's like, there won't be any inquiry. And he's even waiting. He's like, there'll be some footsteps any moment now.
Yeah. I'm dead. That's all.
But next week, Carl Lumley from Alias will be on the show, and I can't wait to see what happens with that. That's going to be cool. He's a great actor.
Shin Manhunter.
He was awesome as Mantis. Remember that show on Fox? Awesome!
Loved Mantis.
I remember Mantis. Holy
crap.
He
was like a crippled superhero. He has a suit where he could walk around and stuff.
Yeah.
Wicked nice. Monzical. Let's do the news. Oh, dear. All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week? And by the way, glad to have you back.
Thank you. In Indiana, not paying a restaurant tab will cost a teenager a day in the county jail. Uh-oh. Not in a jail cell, but in the kitchen. A judge ordered that Donna Shelby to wash dishes at the Porter County Jail on Thanksgiving after she was convicted of a misdemeanor conversion charge for walking out of a restaurant without paying her $18.19 bill.
It's not smart to do that.
Porter Superior Court Judge David Chidester ordered that penalty Monday after a bench trial for the 19-year-old. She offered no defense to the accusation that she left the round-the-clock restaurant on August 12th without paying. Chidester said the restaurant was not seeking restitution, so he sought an alternative sentence, which he remembered from an old television show. He first suggested Shelby wash dishes at the Northwestern Eatery, but managers did not want her back on the property. So, yep, she gets to go...
Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
So they wouldn't even let her come back into the restaurant where she walked out on the tab?
No, they didn't want her back on the property.
Wow, man, Denny's is really strict.
I was thinking he's getting his ideas from TV. Was he going to get his next idea from, like, Seinfeld doing the slave episode?
You know? Yeah. Now, Steven, I remember a story. I don't know if you want to talk about this, but there was one time where you don't want to talk about it.
Thank you.
I was like, you don't want to talk about this. Just by the look on your face. But you didn't do anything wrong, so it's okay.
Got to hear it now. You can't just leave
Come
it
on, Steven. Yeah. Tell the story. What was this, like 20 years ago? Come on.
When I was 18, 17 actually, a group of friends and I went out to a club, blah, blah, blah. Afterwards, we went to eat at this place called JoJo's.
Ah, good old JoJo's.
That's gone.
Food was horrible. One of the guys suggested, jokingly, we walk the check. All of a sudden, one guy gets up like, I'm going to the restroom, and I look up and I see him bolting out the front door.
Oh, man.
It was totally like not obvious that we were running away. You know, it's like everybody, I mean, as soon as you hit this front little hallway there, everybody starts running. They all ran into this grocery store. And you're talking, it's 2 a.m. This is a Albertsons or Tom Thumb. And we get inside there, and all of a sudden we hear them over the announcement, all employees to the front. So they've got the front locked off.
Oh, shit.
We're running around trying to find an open door, trying to go out the back. And mind you, there's about 12 of us.
Oh, man.
I run back out to see if anybody's coming because I know we're not supposed to be back in the stock room. When I walk back in the stock room, everybody's gone. I'm looking around and all of a sudden there's this truck backed up right up against the dock. And I see this guy wheeling out like on a dolly, you know, a bunch of eggs or something, you know, and I dive behind a big crate. I'm like balled up hiding.
So you could have paid the bill and it would have been okay?
Essentially, no, I went back. They offered me that chance. The police did. The restaurant said no. They pressed the charges or whatever.
Right.
But what kept me from going to jail was we all had separate tickets.
Oh.
My meal was, you know, under $25 or what, or under the $50 made me go to jail.
Right. So what ended up happening? Were you just paid it?
I got a ticket. I got a Class C misdemeanor for theft of service.
How did everyone else get away?
I have to quit the show. I don't work with criminals.
That was my juvie record. I don't have any adult records.
But see, wasn't the deal that, I mean, it...
What's a criminal, always a criminal.
Was it that they all decided to go and you were just like, fuck,
yeah.
I got to go too now.
Yeah, I mean, I was really stuck there. I mean...
Were you the last to even leave the restaurant?
Yeah, I was the last one, because, I mean, actually, I was on the far side of the table, so, I mean, I really didn't know what was going on until they were already up and running.
I'm pretty sure I would have just sat there like a chump, and, like...
Those are some terrific friends.
Yeah.
How many
kidding.
Of those people do you still talk to, Steven?
All of them found this little hole where that truck was backed up. There was a square, a little hole, about 1 foot by 1 foot, where they all squeezed through and got out. And they all ran. I mean, and I'm sitting in the back of a police car.
Where was your car at?
Sitting at the restaurant.
Did they know it was yours and they
no.
towed it?
No.
Wow.
I mean, I had my keys out and I was ready to get in my car and drive off, you know, and they ran right past my car. I'm like, the hell, where are you going? I mean, somebody's going to have to come back and get our car. And back then I had, like, hair down to my ass, you know. It's like, you know, how many guys...
Nice picture.
I mean, how many guys with long hair, you know, who like, just ran away from paying a bill are going to come back and get their
Crystal
car?
Hey, Crystal Gale, get back here.
Go get that metalhead. He's getting in his car.
Metalhead?
Hey, I just came from seeing Pantera.
Nice.
Oh, good Lord. You probably had a headache, too.
Now, back off.
This is back when Pantera was wearing spandex and makeup and was wearing the big hair.
Nice.
I got a ticket.
Sorry, I made you tell it.
Got a ticket and I paid it.
All right, Vanessa, go ahead. What else we got?
All right, in Wisconsin, an unknown man has been seen bugging women and police by using an insect story to persuade women to disrobe. Police said the man, who remains at large, has told female workers in at least 7 businesses that they have a tick on their clothes and should remove the clothing to find it.
No.
We don't know what his potential gain is, if it's sexual gratification or if he's trying to be funny, but it's a serious crime. Holly Frankowski was working recently at Sunset Tan.
She sounds hot.
It's a guy.
Frankowski.
In Waukesha, Indiana, when the man came in and asked her to show him the tanning beds. At one point, the man told her she had a tick on her shirt. He was like, it's right there. That's when he looked, took my pants, pulled them down, pulled them over, and that's when I jumped and started walking towards the bathroom.
That's a great thing.
The man ran out, leaving her stunned. You know some guy is violating your space, just the random story in the world. Police said the man has tried the trick in the Milwaukee area, city of Waukesha, Muskego, and Franklin. They said he seems to target younger women working alone in stores. Police said in every case the man was wearing a green jacket with a tree service logo.
Vanessa!
What a brilliant idea.
Does it work? Are people like, hey, I'm going to take off my shirt? And
yeah, they fall for it.
I would be like, okay, thanks, man, and go to someone I knew.
Hey, can you get it off of me?
You know how dangerous those Milwaukee ticks are?
All right, in my name. In Bangkok, a Thai zoo, which has hosted a couple of...
I don't think it's in Thailand. Maybe they do.
A Thai zoo, which has hosted a couple of pandas for 4 years, will play porn videos for the male next month to encourage... I can't concentrate on that. I can't. To encourage them to breed in captivity. The pair, living chastely together at the zoo in the northern city of Chiang Mai, since arriving from China in 2003, would be separated in December, but stay close enough for occasional glimpse of each other.
Ooh.
They don't know
how to mate. I'm a historian of ass.
They don't know how to mate, so we need to show the male how through videos. He said Chung Chung, the 6-year-old male, would be shown the videos on a large screen when he might be feeling a little amorous.
Boom! That is awesome. Big screen porn. Is it high definition?
Doesn't say.
I wonder what pandas prefer for porn.
We'll play the video at the most comfortable and intimate time for him, perhaps after dinner. Hoping Chung Chung would then use the techniques he sees in the video on Lin Hai, the other panda, the female one. Well,
the female will never get pregnant if he's wonderful.
In Toronto...
It's horrible.
You think rock, paper, scissors is a children's game? Think
yes.
Again. Top players from around the globe will gather in Toronto this weekend to compete for a $10,000 Canadian prize at the title of world champion.
Which is about $5 American, I think.
Wow, the world is ending.
It's approximately $8,800 American.
I've heard about this, too, rock, paper, scissors championships. You can look on websites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More than 500 contestants, including national champions from Australia, Norway, and New Zealand, are expected to attend.
See, Yoda's going to be there.
I'm waiting for the odds even, you know, the...
It's so not fair fingers. For Yoda. He's only got two fingers.
He's
yes, but he also has the Force.
Tournament organizer Graham Walker said players will have to steel themselves against psychological pressures, as players typically form teams to rally each other. The team will surround the arena, provide moral support, and usually try to intimidate the opponent.
Really?
Now, mind you, this guy... wrote a book called The Official Rock, Paper, Scissors Guide.
Nice.
Who the hell would buy that?
Well, I mean, if you're going to buy a lottery ticket, you might as well pick that one.
Do they air this on TV, on ESPN?
Probably.
You got
on
guys
the
taunting on the side, paper.
ESPN 8, The Ocho?
Yes.
The Ocho.
Author Ian Fleming had his fictional secret agent James Bond play rock, paper, scissors in a game in Japan in You Only Live Twice.
Nice.
The Paper, Scissors, Stone Club was founded in England in 1842 and provided an environment free from the long arm of the law where enthusiasts could come together and play for honor.
You crazy okay. Britons.
So this is like Beer Fest only with rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah, pretty much. And you should see
without
the picture
the beer.
Of these guys.
And without Broken Lizard.
These guys are dorks.
Close enough.
And finally, Lindsay Lohan tossed a 4-letter expletive at fellow Hollywood runaround Paris Hilton earlier this week.
Oh, dear. This is
what, math?
This is serious news.
In a video posted Thursday on YouTube.com, Lohan was captured leaving a Los Angeles hotel inside which Hilton had reportedly been partying. The 20-year-old actress, as she was getting into the passenger side of an SUV, used a profanity to describe Hilton after an observer asked if they had fought earlier. She's kidding. a friend in the back seat quickly followed up Lohan's sniping. When the asked why she used the word she did, Lohan backtracked, "I never said that. Paris is my friend. No, I love her."
Yeah, she dropped the C-bomb. I'm going to pull her out by her fake boobs and her fake hair and drown her in the pool.
And that's all I've got.
Well, thanks, Vanessa.
You're so welcome.
You were a little out of practice, but we'll let that pass. Right, guys? No, I understand. It's hard to jump back into the NIM after a week off. It is. Hey, Bill, you want to one-up Vanessa? You got some cult news?
I have cult news.
Let's do it! Cult news! What do you got this week, Bill?
Well, gamblers have a bit of a problem in that they'll bet on anything. And right now, Bodog.com is releasing odds on which ceremony will be performed at the wedding of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. Will it be Scientology, which is a 1 to 10 favorite, or a Catholic ceremony? Because technically, Katie Holmes is not a practicing Scientologist. She hasn't yet worked her way to the bridge to total freedom. She's Catholic.
Who comes up with this crap?
Well, that would be our Lord and Master Elrond.
Hasn't she denounced all of her Catholicism?
I don't know. They're saying that she's still Catholic.
Really?
But Vatican officials aren't really happy about this entire Scientology, Roman Catholic conundrum. So they're taking odds. What do you guys think? Are you going to take a, you know, Scientology ceremony or a Catholic ceremony? Maybe they'll get creative and go for maybe a pagan ceremony.
Well, I kind of figure who's paying for it. Tom, it'll be Scientology.
Oh, it'll definitely be Scientology because she does whatever he says.
Well, she is his beard, so she'll do
Thetan.
Yeah, she's a brainwashed.
No, she's not brainwashed.
Oh, my God. Anybody who would just dive right, do whatever this guy says and denounce. I mean, at one point she was talking about becoming Scientologist. It's just, it says it all over her. She's getting brainwashed.
Xenu.
No, I think that she is of clear conscience, sound mind. And no, she signed a contract. Basically, I'm going to give Tom Cruise a baby. I will get this sum of money. And eventually they will get divorced, etc. Mm-hmm. It's a business proposition.
An electropsychometer.
That's not the only problem. Now they have to deal with the fact that the wedding might not even be recognized as legal in Italy. Because
like
this is happening at...
Scientological!
happening at some castle in, near Rome. The mayor doesn't want to give them a wedding certificate.
Why?
Because he doesn't think it'll be legal. It says, on an Italian level, there are papers and documents that they don't have for the wedding. So now he's dragging his feet. Now, I wonder if, like, the Scientology people have moved in or, like, trying to push people around. And it's, you know...
It's a rumor that he's a Scientologist.
Italians, you know...
Just let them get married, is what I say. Why not?
Well, you know, there's always got to be drama.
I mean, they've already had a baby in sin. They need to get married.
God,
what's an end?
There's not sin in Scientology, is there?
There's just thetans, I think.
No, there's engrams.
Thetan.
Oh, it's engrams. You know, whenever something bad happens, or you know, you create an engram, which then you have to work through within.
What's an engram?
You use an e-meter.
An electropsychometer.
Yes, an electropsychometer.
Last story with cult news. I couldn't pass this one up because it's just so incredibly bizarre. Leave it to those wacky Johos. This is in Ontario, Canada. So if you live there and you're near any Johos, watch out. This guy named Claude Martin, how can I put this lightly? He's 76 years old and... he liked to touch other girl with his penis.
Whoa.
Yeah, he just likes to touch her with it, I guess.
I'm going to anal probe you.
Stop.
The father of the girl says that this Martin touched her buttocks with his hand. Buttocks, I love that word. He touched her ass with his hand and put his finger on her Hey Nanny Nanu during a Sunday morning door-to-door sales visit to a home.
Talk about my alleged sexual harassment, right?
Yeah, so it's like ding dong. Have you heard the good word? Excuse me while I touch this girl's hand.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He was doing the door-to-door thing and then he molested a girl?
Yeah. It says the girl said they were standing on a landing inside the front door when the householder had gone downstairs. She and this man, Martin, often made door-to-door visits in an attempt to gain members to the sect of Jehovah's Witnesses. Her parents were in a nearby car with other members making similar visits in the area. You know, they like to hit it in a group so that they annoy everyone in one central area. It says after the parents read the this girl's diary and found this stuff out, other Jehovah's Witnesses heard about it and visited their home, and they were just, you know, they didn't know what to do. The girl's father said, the impression we were left with was pick up the carpet and sweep it under and carry on with your life. We wanted to know there was going to be something done in the organization. Yeah, okay, this guy, you know, touching, molesting my daughter, let's just, you know, forget about it.
Well, that's usually what you do in organized religions. This makes it worse for them in the long run because this stuff always gets found out, and what it is it's somebody covering up somebody who did something horrible in their organization. They're afraid it'll make them look bad, so they cover it up, and it makes them look worse.
Exactly.
What you should do is, hey, here's the bastard who did it. He's no longer in our organization. Castrate him. That's the way it should be.
Expel him from our organization.
Right.
After this girl and her parents reported the incident to police in 2005, the girl said her parents were told about a second alleged complaint.
Oh,
and
no.
That was allegedly standing up against a counter when Martin came up behind her and rubbed his pelvic area against her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so now this thing is going to trial.
Did they get free watchtowers out of the deal?
You know what? I would hope so.
Gormis got it, freak.
So this trial starts back up again on December 5th, so maybe we'll have a follow-up to see if this guy...
I've been scrubbing him real hard.
Hornball goes to jail or maybe...
He better.
...by a large man named Bubba. Who knows?
Good.
Cut off his piece of deal and feed it to him.
And that's cult news this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the cult news. You did a really good job, and I'm glad to hear about that cult stuff, especially that molestation story. Very cheery.
I do my best to bring, you know, the funny.
Yes, sir.
When it involves, you know, brainwashed people following blindly.
Are Jehovah's Witnesses a cult, by the way?
Yes.
Ah, yes. That's what I thought. All right, guys. DVDs, baby. You want to do some DVDs?
Let's do some DVDs. Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! 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 Woohoo! DVDs, baby! Let's do it again!
Holy shit. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray in 7th definition.
DVDs! Alright, everybody. DVDs, Bill. What do we got this week in DVDs?
Alright, these DVDs are for this week. It's November 14th.
Felt so good to go streaking.
Of course, that's a Tuesday. I think I'm going to start this one off with something some of our fans will like. Now, when I was a kid, I wasn't really into wrestling. I had a friend that really liked wrestling, and I, you know, watched it, but I was never into it. If you're a fan of wrestling in the 80s, you probably love this DVD. It's called Born to Controversy, The Roddy Piper Story.
Oh, my God. I'm going home. Will somebody call a cab?
Well, don't leave just yet. At least Roddy Piper gave us They Live.
Yes. Yes. Nice.
You know, you need to obey.
Genius.
David Keith. Terrific.
Just put on these glasses. The longest fist-to-cuff fight in cinematic history.
Yes.
Awesome.
And, you know, dumpsters are involved.
I'm afraid something inside me died.
Now, he has a life story.
Yes, and this is a 3-DVD set.
Holy.
I thought you were going to say 3D for a second. I was like, huh?
It's Kiltmania in 3D.
Sweet.
The DVD has, you know, story of his childhood, working with Mr. T,
awesome.
Working the WCW, the WWE.
Skip to the end.
Yeah, so that's it.
Can't wait to pick that up.
I am so sorry, Bill.
All right. Next DVD is The Da Vinci Code. Yes, it's hitting DVD for all of you people to enjoy.
Never
this
heard of it.
This large piece of shit made by Ron Howard is coming out in a special widescreen edition. Yes, and this includes the first day on the set with Ron Howard, a conversation with Dan Brown.
Now, why are you calling it a piece of shit, man?
This movie sucks. The book sucked. The movie sucked. You people were sheep. This shit sucked.
Hey, I haven't even seen the movie, man. Have you seen it, Bill?
Yeah, I have.
Obviously.
It's just so boring, and you know what, Ron Howard, you're a hack.
No, wait, but Bill, haven't you seen these DVD commercials where it's like, there's all sorts of clues you missed, and we're going to point them out to you. You must buy the DVD to see them.
Oh, that's a huge... When you're making a film, and something comes into play where you got to hide clues for a promotion, a game for your film...
Yeah, here's what I want to know. What good are clues if I don't understand what the hell they mean in the first place?
I hate that.
Exactly. But I
but
mean,
it does have a bright spot. It has Audrey Tautou.
The plane.
No, not tattoo.
Oh, I'm sorry. But you know what, Ron Howard. Say what you will about Ron Howard. Night Shift, hilarious.
Wasn't that his first movie?
No, that Roger Corman. That Roger Corman movie was his first movie. Grand Theft Auto or something like that.
That was a real prize.
Yeah.
Now this movie, talking about this is a prize. We've all been waiting for this to hit DVD, and we finally get it. It's 1990's Frankenhooker. A medical school cop loses his fiance in a tragic lawnmower incident.
Yes, very serious.
Saw this in the theater.
Very sad.
Lawnmowers are just so dangerous, and he decides to bring her back, a la Reanimator.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he was only able to save her head, a la the brain that wouldn't die. And so he goes to the red light district in the city and lures a prostitute into his hotel room so he can get parts for his girlfriend. It's genius!
Have you seen the film, Bill?
Yes, I have.
Awesome. Remember what he makes? Super crack.
And it winds up blowing up all the hookers.
Yeah, that's the one bad thing. You get high on it, then you explode. Not
well,
very good.
Good stuff. It's great, really good.
You know what I remember about the video cassette? Remember that? The video cassette box, like you go to Blockbuster, it had a little button that says push, and it would say, want a date?
Yeah, that's right.
It was awesome.
I remember.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't even have a clue.
What the hell is Bubba yelling at me about?
Now, if you're going to pick up Frankenhooker, you might as well pick this one up. The Golden Girls, the complete sixth season.
Yes!
Because nothing is better than a slutty Rue McClanahan sleeping with old men.
I love Rue.
A crotchety B. Arthur, a dumb Betty White, and a charming Estelle Getty.
Right.
She was.
I've never watched that show.
Oh, you're a fucking liar.
I swear to God, I have never seen an episode of that show.
Now, if you haven't, you should start with season 5, because it's got great guest stars like Jeffrey Tambor, who was Hank on the Larry Sanders Show, and
awesome.
Debbie Reynolds. Can you believe that?
Hello.
Debbie Reynolds.
Wow, where has she been
I'm
all
sold.
These years? You know, she should be starring in movies, not on TV shows.
I love The Golden Girls, Vanessa, and you have seen it. So
when did I see it? And what episode?
You saw it when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah, okay, so I remember
It'd
that.
It'd be on TV and you saw it.
Okay,
well, it's not that old.
I'm just saying that you have seen it.
Well, you know what? I think we all just need to, you know, follow what the song says, and we need to thank each other for being a friend.
Roll down.
We need That's to travel beautiful. That road and come mm-hmm. back again.
I don't remember ever sitting through an episode.
She doesn't remember, so that's her out.
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever had. I mean, I have to only go based off my memory, and no, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Could your memory be wrong?
Well, yes. I think if you could tell me what episode and remind me, sure.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again.
Nice.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Boom, boom, boom.
And if you threw a party.
Vanessa, do you recognize the song?
Oh, I know the song.
Uh-huh. It's all coming back to you, huh?
Yes.
Every episode.
That is, now that's heartwarming.
That,
they should have used that at the end of Smallville. That would have made me shed a tear.
It would have. Well, I'm going to pick that up and masturbate to it. What else you got, Bill?
Well, you might want to hold off on the masturbation for this one. It's David Hasselhoff in the stage production of Jekyll and Hyde the Musical.
I've been scrubbing him real hard.
Yes. What?
If you can't get enough of the sweet musical stylings of David Hasselhoff, then pick up this Jekyll and Hyde the Musical, because I hear he is just fantastic.
I'm going to say masturbating in a minute. Am I allowed?
Yes.
Thank you, David.
Next DVD is John Tucker Must Die. Again, horrible film.
You're directed by dirtier.
Betty White, who... Or Betty White, Jesus Christ, I'm still on... I'm still on...
Why? She pregnant something?
Bill, thank you for being a friend, but can we move on?
Yeah, it's actually Betty Thomas, who actually who directed, you know, Private Parts, which was a really terrific movie.
She also directed Brady Bunch the movie, one of my
which was a really horrible movie.
No, what? So Brady Bunch the movie is genius.
So she's hit and miss, all right?
Good. Nope.
This was a miss. Wasn't she in Hill Street Blues, too?
Yes.
She was the ugly cop on Hill Street Blues.
Yes.
There were so many to choose.
She was very mannish. No. And Brady Bunch, the movie, was good.
Yeah, I'll just let you say that. Next DVD, if anybody's interested in an even longer version of King Kong, you might want to pick up the new Deluxe Extended Edition.
Nice.
Peter Jackson has added more than 13 minutes of film.
Awesome. The movie wasn't long enough? Jesus!
I'm not double-dipping that one.
No, I haven't even seen it on DVD. I need to.
I don't even think I'm going to bother with DVD.
I've got the first...
Thank you, Hero.
I got the first one out.
If I can really push myself to it, I might pick up the HD DVD that comes out
nice.
Along with it.
Nice. Interesting. Sounds good. Sounds good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this extended edition has... 38 minutes of deleted scenes, a feature commentary with Peter Jackson, the eighth blunder of the world, which is listed as a must-see outtake and gag reel.
No, that sounds awesome. I don't have it on DVD, so I'm going to pick up this version.
All right, how about this? This is even more interesting. Maniac Cop.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
Bruce Willis. And Bruce Willis. Jesus Christ, what am I saying?
Betty Thomas and Bruce Willis.
Betty White and Bruce Willis. In Maniac Cop.
It's got that big jawed actor with elephantitis of the jaw, Robert Zidar. He plays the Maniac Cop. It is awesome!
The only better movie was Soul Catcher. Soul Taker.
Soul Taker!
Oh, it's the best.
they can holler. I would never want to get in a fight with them. They can holler too loud. You get caught.
Yes, that's right. He's got a big jaw.
Soul Taker!
So whatever happened to that big-jawed fellow? He's also, he plays one of the...
He choked to death on his own tongue.
He's one of the inmates in Tango and Cash. Do you remember that?
He was like the old woman in Goonies. Didn't he swallow his own tongue or bite it off?
Get the bone.
Did you ever hear that story when you were a kid that the lady from the Goonies had her tongue replaced with a piece of meat?
Who? Oh,
the old lady from the Goonies?
No, I did not.
Ma Fratelli.
She had part of her tongue removed because of cancer.
Yeah, but when I was a kid, it, like, gets twisted around, and all of a sudden, it's she has a piece of round steak in her mouth for her tongue.
They sewed a pork chop under her tongue.
I don't know why or how that, you know, came to be.
Well,
but
do you guys remember?
I totally believed it.
When supposedly Alfonso Ribeiro from the Pepsi commercials, he broke his neck breakdancing. Yeah. That was like, that was an urban myth for a long time.
Yeah.
But I got to say that the Maniac Cop trilogy, excellent.
Yeah, I liked yes. Maniac Cop. But see, the great thing about this DVD here, it's got a remixed DTS surround sound and high definition.
Whoa.
Transfer.
And it's got Bruce Campbell in a non-Sam Raimi film.
Yeah.
That was like one of his first non-Sam Raimi roles. And I remember I rented the movie just to see Bruce Campbell, and I was disappointed at how ridiculous the movie was. I mean, I knew it would be, but I thought it might be entertaining in some capacity.
Now, get this. The DVD has an audio commentary with Bruce Campbell, Larry Cohen, and others. I don't know who others are. It has a theatrical trailer and television spots, additional scenes filmed for the Japanese television version,
awesome.
Which you can't go without. And an all-new featurette with star Robert Zadar and other surprises.
Ooh, huh? Surprises. Sold!
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick this one up. And always remember, you have the right to remain silent forever.
Yes.
Great really? Tagline.
Now, this next DVD I am really excited about. Because, well, I already own this version, but I'll probably buy this one too because I'm such a fanboy of this film. And that's Old Boy. This is the collector's edition of the South Korean film by Chan-wook Park. And if you don't know the story, it's about a guy named Oh Dae-soo, who's just an ordinary guy with a wife and a daughter. Spends one drunken night on a town, gets arrested, leaves, gets abducted, wakes up like a hotel room, but it's a prison. And no one will tell him why he's there. And he ends up being there for 15 years. He's let out one day just, you know, on the top of a roof in the middle of the city, you know, given some clothes and a cell phone. And he's told that he's got 5 days to figure out who imprisoned him or he dies. So he goes out, you
know.
That's
an interesting premise.
Yeah. So he goes out seeking revenge on all the people that are involved. And it's just, the thing just unravels. It's just so well made and beautifully shot. There's this incredible scene near the middle of the film when he goes back to the place he was imprisoned in to question the guy that runs it. And there is just this one long tracking shot right down the hallway of him fighting like this group of guys, like 30 guys at once. And all he has is a hammer. So he's got this claw hammer, and he's just fighting off these guys and going apeshit wild, you know. And he's getting stabbed, and he's just going crazy. It's one of the most amazing single-shot, continuous-shot things I've ever seen in a film.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
It's just tremendous. I love this movie. And I'm glad it's getting a nice 3-disc release here by Tartan in the States. This one has a director's commentary, director and cinematographer's commentary, director and cast commentary.
Will we be able to understand it?
But it's probably subtitled.
That's what I was
going to
say.
It's probably in Korean with English subtitles. Yeah, and it comes with the original volume 1 of the manga that it was based on. So, it, you know, and it's translated to the English for the first time, so it's kind of a big deal to get it.
Cool.
But it's a really, really cool film. It's one of my all-time favorites, easily. And it comes in this really cool tin, 3-disc
Maybe
set.
They'll do an American remake with, like, Sylvester Stallone or something.
Think we talked about that. They were planning on it, and everybody was up in arms going crazy because they cast Thomas Jane as the lead.
Oh, yeah, he was great in The Punisher.
Oh, yeah, he was terrific. And then, thankfully, the movie, the production of it died. Let's finish up these DVDs. Next one is Quantum Leap, the complete 5th season. Now, I loved this show. And I think this is the final season of Quantum Leap. I think it only went 5 seasons.
Is this where it all went to hell?
But I loved this show. I watched it every night it was on.
Yeah, we did too.
I was a big fan of it. But Vanessa actually was watching Golden Girls, so I couldn't watch this.
But I was always, and I continue to be somewhat disappointed, disillusioned by the last episode. But it's still a great show. I still watch it on Sci-Fi whenever it's on.
Did they get a chance to end the series?
I don't remember the last episode. What happened in the last episode?
Didn't he leaped into a bar, and supposedly it was like him having a conversation with God or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember it real well, but I remember watching it and going, huh?
So because what it was he was told that he could always leap home, he would have to want to.
Interesting. What the hell does that mean? That he didn't
want exactly.
That he didn't want to go home.
He wanted to continue to help people.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. So he's kind of like an angel.
Yeah.
If you want to think.
And when it turned out, he was in a snow globe and a little autistic boy imagined the whole thing.
No, that was Saint Elsewhere.
Oh, damn it. God. I confuse all those shows. That was the end of Golden Girls. Rue McClanahan was actually schizophrenic.
Schizophrenic, thought she was a little boy watching, doing the whole story. In a snow.
It turned out that B. Arthur was a man.
You know, we could only hope that an autistic boy imagined Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
Handsome, chiseled features with a smile that could light up a barn.
No, that's not Howie Mandel. next DVD is Who Killed the Electric Car? This is an independent documentary about, well, who killed the electric car. If you remember, like, 10 years ago, electric cars were, like, all the rage out in California. Ed Begley Jr., I think, still drives one. But supposedly this is really good because it shows car industry. The car industry just shut it down.
No, it wasn't the car industry. It would be the oil industry that shut it down.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, I'm blathering. But, the oil industry basically shut it down. So if you want to know why it died, how it died.
Have you seen this? Is it pretty good? Good stuff?
I haven't, but I've heard it's good.
They could probably make a car that lasts way longer than cars that they have now, but hell, that would ruin their business. They need people to go out and have to buy new cars.
They had a story back in the late 80s about this guy who actually developed an engine that ran off water and would not need oil anymore and went away.
The guy was executed.
Sounds like bullshit to me.
Is it like
chain reaction? Is it cold fusion? Is Keanu Reeves going to come running around?
It sounds like an
urban
myth kind of story.
Oh, no, this was true.
It was actually Alfonso Ribeiro that invented that.
Yeah, when he snapped and broke his neck, and he was breakdancing
on the hood.
And then he hooked up with Mikey from the Life commercials and drank Pop Rocks and soda.
Oh, man, it exploded his brain.
Yeah, they exploded their stomachs.
Awesome.
I'm going to cover HD DVDs from now on, because I love HD DVD.
I could give a rat's ass.
Yeah, this is the cherry on top of the cake that is DVD, or the sundae that is DVD. And this is the next DVD is Accepted, the Warren Cheswick film. What's his name? Justin Long?
Yes. Or Warren,
I know him as Warren Cheswick.
Cheswick.
Yeah. And this is on HD DVD in the combo format, so you get the DVD and the HD DVD.
Or you could call him the annoying shit from those Apple commercials.
Yeah. And what's funny about these combo DVDs is they tack on an extra $10 because it's a combo. It's got the HD and the DVD on there. But it's got my favorite thing in the world, Dolby Digital True HD Sound, which is basically the studio master.
Wow.
So, next DVD is Leslie Nielsen in Forbidden Planet.
Awesome.
Wow, that's cool. Is it completely remastered and stuff?
Yes, for high definition.
That is so wicked bonzy.
So it's, you know, the colors are redone. Isn't it black and white?
No,
it's totally Technicolor.
Okay.
Technicolor,
right,
baby.
So, I don't know why I thought that, but it's completely redone. It's got lost footage on it, a bunch of stuff from the time it came out. What was that, like 55 or 56?
Like in the late 80s or something.
Shut up. Late 80s. That was Police Squad. So if you're a fan of Forbidden Planet, I think even the DVDs are coming out this week at the same time.
Did Leslie Nielsen have white hair back then, too?
No, I think it was dyed pitch black.
It was blonde.
He's very...
Was it blonde?
No, I think it was blonde, wasn't
no,
it?
No, I don't think it was.
I can't remember.
He was on the Golden Girls. Do you remember that episode, Vanessa?
No.
And again, as I mentioned earlier, King Kong on HD DVD if you don't feel like picking up the extended edition. And last but not least, the film everyone called the biggest bomb ever, and that's Kevin Costner's Waterworld, which I actually like.
It's not a bad flick. The only thing is it got so much negative press for costing so much money. I mean, it's not a fantastic movie, but it's very entertaining. No. Road Warrior on Water.
Yeah. And Dennis Hopper was over the top and cool in it. And, you know, Kevin Costner was okay. Now, if you remember, do you remember the little girl in it?
Yeah.
That was Tina Majorino, who's Mac on Vanessa Mar or Veronica Mars, and she was also in Napoleon Dynamite.
Deb. Vanessa Mars.
Vanessa Mars. Holy shit. There's something up with my head where
that's her sister, the show that comes on
Vanessa
after.
Mars.
Now, Vanessa, what movie was a bigger bomb than Waterworld?
Cutthroat Island lost $81 million.
See, I didn't think Cutthroat Island was that bad.
Are you kidding me? That was the most god-awful movie.
It's not worth the money they spent on it.
Yeah,
no, it's not worth the money they spent on it, but it wasn't horrible.
There was something online about that. Waterworld's actually number two with like 70-something million.
Yeah, this is when Rennie Harlan was married to Gina Davis. He's like, I want to put you in the pirate movie.
You need a patch on your eye.
Genius cast Matthew Modine.
Yeah.
He's a big star. He just made Wind.
Wow, talk about a boring-ass movie, Wind.
Jennifer Grey and Matthew Modine. Sailing boats.
In a movie about flatulence.
See, that would even be better than what that movie was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would watch an hour and a half of
people. It's about a fart-powered sailboat.
I had a visual of Matthew Modine cutting a fart into a sail.
You have quite an active imagination.
I need years of therapy.
And that's DVDs for Tuesday, November 14th. 2006.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. You did a fantastic job. And might I say that you changed our lives forever. For the better.
I'm glad I've done that, and I hope you can look past my faux pas.
It's a strong smell.
All right, everybody, that was episode 60 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Yes, 60 episodes of this show. Thank you for listening. I would like you to keep on listening, I would hope. Hopefully we didn't complain too much about all the things that we love, like Lost and Smallville. We do love those shows dearly, do we not?
We wouldn't watch them if we didn't.
That's right. And
we'd be commenting on some other shows.
We will start commenting on Golden Girls also, because Vanessa loves that show and she's got all the episodes memorized. If you would like to leave a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491 and tell us what's on your mind. Go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and hell, maybe we'll
we're gonna anal probe you.
No, not anal probe you. We will read it on the air. Okay, we'll anal probe you. If you'd like to go to nowhereinmulberry.com, you'll find links to our forum and our chat room, which we get together on Friday night and have Friday night chats. Last night I had a chat with Mick McCard of Captain Jolt, and we had a good time talking about podcasting and stuff like that.
Nice.
Thanks for listening to episode 60. Vanessa, do you have any closing thoughts before we go? Because I know sometimes you like to say things and we talk over you, so what do you got to say?
Well, there is one thing. And just for anybody who cares, but...
Oh, by the way, we're going to take a break until February, so see you then. Bye!
I'll see you in 13 weeks, suckers.
Uploading video. Check this out. See that?
Now this is podcasting.